Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today says it's going to be partly cloudy, breezy, and we'll have a high close to 80 degrees. Kenosha right now 61, 58 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, it's 59, 62 in Racine. They were considered non-survivable injuries, and a motorcyclist who suffered them in a crash in the town of Yorkville Sunday evening has now passed away after being removed from life support at Frederick Hospital. The Racine County Sheriff's Office identifying that victim as 25-year-old James Malnar II from Racine. The accident occurred when his motorcycle, for unexplained reasons, left Durand Avenue in the 17200 block and ended up in a field. Malnar not wearing a helmet at the time. Alcohol may have played a role, according to reports. The accident is still under investigation. There was a second motorcyclist at the scene. That person issued a citation for operating while impaired. He passed away over the weekend at the hospital in Racine, a man found with a gunshot wound to the chest near 11th Street and Grand Avenue. WRJN's Janet Hoff reports.
Racine Police Sergeant Adam Malacara said the victim was transported to Ascension Hospital where he died. He said investigators were unable to get much information from the victim about how he was shot, and it's unknown where the incident took place. The victim's name has not been released. Racine Police investigators are asking anyone with information about this crime to contact the investigations unit at 635-7756 or anonymously through Crime Stoppers. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Also in Racine County Circuit Court, a 16-year-old charged as an adult referenced a shooting that occurred last Friday. Four counts of first-degree reckless endangerment of safety among the charges against Otarius Bell. He was arrested by police after a foot chase. He told officers, according to court documents, he ran from the shooting scene in the 1700 block of Center Street because somebody had shot at him, even after police had ordered him to stop. A loaded handgun reported stolen, recovered, according to investigators. Two sets of shell casings indicating two people had been shooting from opposite sides of the streets also found bullets striking a parked car nearby. Bell's going to be back in court next week. The U.S. Marshals Service using the latest technology to try to catch a man from Memphis suspected of murder. He's been in the wind for 13 years. He reportedly also has past ties to Racine. 54-year-old Robert King wanted for murdering his girlfriend, trying to kill her daughter. The new technology is age progression visual imagery. It produced a new photograph to help the public identify him. According to reports, he has, aside from connections to Racine and Memphis, also ties to Greenville, Mississippi, and Chicago and Minneapolis. There's a $25,000 reward being offered for information leading to King's arrest through the U.S. Marshals Service. Well, Kenosha Fire Chief Charles Leipzig says he's never seen anything like it, as many fires in such a short amount of time as his department incurred this past weekend. Between last Friday afternoon and yesterday at noon, six fires reported, the two most significant incidents occurring, of course, Saturday afternoon. He talked about it with the Public Safety and Welfare Committee. The chief said that the fire at the 8-unit condo building on 55th Court, that caused more than $1.6 million worth of damage, and what caused it is still under investigation. Now, there were no sprinklers in the attic area, and that's where the fire apparently began. Chief Leipzig saying that the committee to deal with the state because the state does not require sprinklers in buildings with fewer than 20 units. And he said there's an effort underway currently to try to relax the standard.
The state of Wisconsin is actually pushing legislation to make it over a 20-unit building, so they're relaxing requirements on sprinklers.
They urge committee members contact state officials to oppose that proposal. And the chief is also hoping that public education will help to keep fires like the one that damaged 11 structures Saturday from occurring again. This involved embers from a fire pit setting a garage on fire at 5701 34th Avenue. The flames eventually spread to other buildings and caused all total about $250,000 worth of damage. Now, Kenosha aldermen are scheduled to revisit an ordinance that was passed last year allowing residents to have backyard fires coming up in September. At yesterday's committee meeting, Alderman Jan Mikulski, who voted against the ordinance, he said the changes have got to be made.
I don't want to be sitting here, I told you so. The council as a whole was confident that this could be done without major problems, but this one incident, somebody, a lot of people think, well, that's okay. There's a seat allowed for outdoor burn in a fire pit. Well, three garages and a major damage to a house and a lot of property damage, and it's only the beginning of the season.
And there were two more fires yesterday, one that damaged an apartment building starting in the kitchen of one of the units, the other damaging a porch. That started with improper disposal of charcoal from a grill. And Southeast Wisconsin is very dry right now, and as a result, the summer's fire chief, Karsten Wilkinson, he's put out a burn ban for both the village and the town until further notice. The forecast is calling for rain, but until then, the dry and windy conditions and lack of new vegetation, a serious concern for local fire officials. They are urging the public to be extremely careful. Racine's Landmarks Preservation Commission is adamant. Nothing short of the same historic bricks that line College Avenue from 14th Street south to DeKoven up to each intersecting street is going to be acceptable for the 16th Street and College Avenue intersection with a future reconstruction of 16th up to Racine Street. City's Division of Planning and Redevelopment Manager Matt Sadowski says there was a meeting of city development staff and the project design team, and it led to an alternative proposal. Modern brick for crosswalks, textured concrete handicap ramps. Reasons cited, brick supply, and the traffic volume that'll be going with it.
They're looking for a determination from the Landmarks Commission for a no adverse effect based on this alternative. Like I say, using modern brick, color to match, and the textured concrete handicap ramps.
Panel member Don Schumacher called the alternative, though, less appropriate than their original recommendation. And he questioned, among other things, the true number of stored bricks that were promised to keep College Avenue from eventually disappearing over time.
When redoing that intersection and when they relayed those bricks, I don't see why those old bricks would not function just as well as new bricks for handicap accessibility. So then it's just a matter of finding a source of bricks to do this. I know it sounds simple, but you know, when we went through and listed the most appropriate to inappropriate, we had least appropriate going with fully paved concrete College Avenue with reestablished with original bricks just on College Avenue. And this is one step below that.
Out in the audience, Alice Thompson, who lives right nearby, said that the historic brick, that's the best look for that intersection.
It's such a distinctive street, and that we're going to start to lose the character of the street, that there has to be some, we need a source of bricks.
In the audience, Alice Thompson, among others, listening in as the Landmarks Commission, with Chairman Tony Varanth opposed, recommended nothing less than the historic brick for that intersection work, notwithstanding a previously approved resolution by the group that focused only in on the brick street and not the intersection. In Summers, the Village Board's got a public information meeting tonight on the I-94 corridor future land use study. This is to get input from residents on plans to extend sewer and water service to the area for possible future development. This is bounded by Highway H and the interstate and Highway E and KR. Summers Administrator Bill Morris says the current land use plans show that area remaining agricultural through the year 2035. But there was a recent intergovernmental agreement with Paris and the city of Kenosha. You've had some interest in the area. That has changed things a bit. And Kenosha, of course, has the water and wastewater capacity to allow it to expand that service out to that location.
As everyone knows, Kenosha owns and operates the regional treatment plant and the water production plant. So that agreement put to bed all of the issues, and the capacity of the city of Kenosha's treatment plant and the capacity of their water production plant, as we are assured, is, you know, well beyond probably the 2050 plan.
Extension of sewer and water will require approval of the DNR. The meeting tonight starts at 7 o'clock. The Village Board has a work session beginning at 5:30. The industrial building that Foxconn has been leasing ahead of its assembly operation campus going up in Mount Pleasant, that has now been sold to Hawaii-based real estate firm James Campbell Company, LLC. Price tag nearly $13.7 million. The almost 156,000-square-foot facility on Globe Drive was built in 2016 by the Opus Group of Minnesota. Property was assessed at nearly $9.7 million last year, that according to the Milwaukee Biz Times. In Burlington, the Common Council is meeting at 6:30 tonight in Committee of the Whole. On that agenda, discussion about a bid of Stark Pavement Corporation for just under $999,000 for street and sidewalk improvements this year. Also a motion to approve a lease agreement between the city and Burlington Senior Center Incorporated. That item is also on the Council's business agenda for action right after Committee of the Whole. The Racine Common Council will meet at 7 o'clock tonight at City Hall. Among the items on that agenda, a communication to the Public Safety Committee seeking a revision of the city's policy on deaf child warning signs, and a recommendation from the Finance Committee to approve a collection agreement between the city and Airbnb for the reporting, collection, and remittance of room tax dollars. And in Kenosha County, it's County Executive Jim Cruiser at the 7:30 meeting of the County Board, scheduled to give his annual State of the County address. WRJN.com. That is our webpage. We keep our newscasts there in the local news section. Throughout the day, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.